It is now, excuse me, my great pleasure to introduce our friend and frequent visiting minister, the Reverend Scott Dillard. Reverend Dillard is a professor of rhetoric at Georgia College and State University in Milledgeville. He has a bachelor's in speech communication from Blackburn College and an MS and PhD in speech communication performance studies from Southern Illinois University. His areas of expertise and interest are performance studies, narrative, queer theory, gay spirituality, and service learning. Reverend Dillard is also the former dean of the Mountain School for Congregational Leadership. Reverend Dillard is an ordained interfaith minister who speaks in Unitarian pulpits throughout the Southeast. Scott and his partner, Chris Lamphere, live in Milledgeville, Georgia. They have a daughter, Katrina, a grandson, Brandon, and a granddaughter, Lillian. They also have one amazing dog, a schnauzer named Bill. Bell, I'm sorry, Bell, excuse me.
Don't misgender
the dog. Well, the title of Dr. Dillard's sermon today is You've Got to Have Friends. Scott?
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The title of this sermon, I didn't really realize it when I wrote it down, but I was thinking about it this morning. So where does this title come from? It comes from somewhere. And it's an old song. And it's a song that used to be more of a signature song for Bette Midler. Remember Bette Midler? How many of you know Bette Midler, right? If I said that to my students today, they go, who's Bette Midler? And then I kick them out of the room and tell them to come back when they've learned something. But it was a signature song that she used to sing all the time. How many of you know this song? A few of you? Oh, you got to have friends. Well, if you don't know all that much about how she started her career, she started her career in New York City. And she sang for gay men at the Continental Baths. And there's a line in this song, You've Got to Have Friends, that says, I have some friends, but they're gone. Someone came and took them away. And for a long time, she didn't sing the song because it was too painful for her to sing during the AIDS pandemic, where she lost so many of those men that she knew from those early years. So I just wanted to share that. So let's start here with a poem by the poet Stevie Smith. The pleasures of friendship are exquisite. How pleasant to go to a friend on a visit. I go to my friend, we walk on the grass, and the hours and moments, like minutes, pass. Think back for a moment. If you can think way, 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 way back in your life, who was your very first friend? Think about that for a moment. Who was that very first friend? Now, oftentimes, I think that first friend, we kind of, if we really think about it, was probably, if we had any, a sibling. That's how we learned about friends, right? Was we shared with siblings. We learned it there first. Chris just came back from Ohio for a week visiting our child Katrina and the grandkids. And he was talking about these two little children. Brandon is 3 and Lillian is 1. And they're just learning to play together. They're learning to be friends to each other. They're learning to interact with one another. And it becomes sort of the basis for how we learn about friendship as we move out of our household. Apparently, she's not taking any of his guff, as Chris said. It's good for her, right? Maybe after that, there was a neighbor that might have been your very first friend. Someone that lived next door around the block, on your block. And that's probably true because their proximity makes that pretty likely, right? That that might have been your very first friend. When I grew up, and that was a long time ago, right? Kids played outside. You never see kids playing outside anymore. I know there are kids that live in my neighborhood in Milledgeville. I hear them occasionally, but you never see them. I don't know where they're at. They're in the house a lot. We were outside all the time. In this, my mother used to tell us to go outside and in her words, let the stink blow off you. And we didn't come in till, you know, she came to the back door and yelled our names. Do you remember moms standing in the back door yelling out the kids' names to come home? Yeah. On our little block, I was counting, when I was growing up, just this teeny little block in this small town, there were 13 children. Just on that one block, 13 children. And we played together all the time. And we were all friends. And if you count those adjacent blocks, there were a lot of children to play. There was always a game of baseball or football or tag or something going on in those backyards. And we learned to become friends to one another. Of course, maybe your first friend was when you first got to school. Or can you remember that first friend you made in school? It's more opportunities for you to sort of expand out and have even more friends once you get there. Now, those early years of school weren't that great for me. I didn't really have friends. I don't remember having friends until around maybe the sixth grade. My friends were all the kids in the neighborhood and my brother and my sister. And in sixth grade, things changed, and I had my really first friend that I did things with at school and outside of school. And probably were friends because we were kind of both probably a little bit of misfits together. I was just odd, and he was the brainy kid. And the one thing that we used to always do was we went bowling. Every Saturday morning, we met and we went bowling. And nobody else was in the bowling alley on Saturday morning but my friend Bruce and I. And we bowled and drank Shirley Temples because that was cool, right? In sixth grade, that was really cool. You know, it's like you had your own cocktail, right? And we became pretty good bowlers as a result of that. Then in seventh and eighth grade, they shipped us off to a new school. We had to go to a nearby town to go to school. And so kids from all these other little towns all came together. And I made more friends, and I had a circle of friends around me. And those friends saw me all the way through high school. And my best friend from that time, he and I went off to college together. And we lived together in the dorms. And we're friends for many, 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 many years. I don't know what's happened to him. He's decided not to be my friend, and I don't know why. And that happens sometimes too. Once I got to college, I made a lot of good friends. College is interesting when you go away and you stay there, right? Because you're living there with each other. And it's almost like you've gone back to that time where you had siblings, right? That's the kind of friends you had. You're living with one another and learning to be with one another and learning to be friends. What made it even more unique for me is I went to a college. It was it's called a work college, and we all worked for 15 hours a week on campus without pay. And that kept the costs down. So it was a private school, but we didn't pay very much money. My tuition and everything, once I had all my financial aid and everything in order, my very first semester in college was $65. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. See, look at these younger people. They know that's incredible. Yeah. $65. Now, of course, it steadily went up because Reagan came into office and slashed all our aid. But whatever. You know, we live with it. Yeah. But we lived together. We worked together. We were in classes together. We were with each other all the time. And so we became very, very close. And I'm still very, very close to this day with a lot of those people. Now, somewhere along the way, you know, after college, it becomes a little more difficult to make friends, doesn't it? Once we're out into the workforce and you're pursuing a career, and perhaps you have some work friends, but that doesn't always translate to friends off the clock. Now, for me, when I went back to graduate school, that helped some, because if any of you ever went to graduate school, you know that's a pretty intense experience, and you can really sort of bond with other people over having that sort of shared experience, and I still have some of those friendships. And what's really interesting is that grad school experience, I'm now one of my colleagues in my department at Georgia College is someone that I went to graduate school with through that same experience. And then after she hired me in, we hired one of our former professors from that same school. So, you know, we just kept this sort of going as like a friendship department. But after that, friends are somewhat hard to come by. Chris and I sometimes sit around and we'll be having dinner, and we're sitting there all alone with ourselves having dinner and enjoying ourselves, but then we look at each other and every now and then we'll say, hey, remember when we used to have friends? And remember when we used to have friends that we did things with? And we did, but not so much anymore. Now, some of that's because some of those people perhaps moved away, and some took more interest in other friends than us and stopped maybe contacting us as much. And some, we simply didn't do the work of friendship to keep the friendships going. Because there are things you have to do to keep friendships going. Here's a short list. One, be kind. People don't like friends that are not kind. You have to listen. People want to be your friend because they know they can come to you and tell you things, and you are really genuinely going to listen to them. On the other side of that is that has to be reciprocity in that. You have to open up to them as well. They need to know what's going on in your life as well. You also need to be trustworthy. You have to have trust in one another. And finally, and this is probably where perhaps Chris and I have fallen down on the job, is you have to be available. You ever have friends and say, anything you need anytime, just let me know, I'll drop anything and I'll be there. Have you ever tested that? It doesn't always work. And that's not because they don't want to be there. It's because they can't. Because of circumstances. Now, I'm afraid that, like so much else these days, we tend to redefine the term friend. And perhaps not for the better. For me, a friend is someone that I can see, or that I have some realistic expectation that I will be face-to-face with them at some point. Or I'm at least going to pick up the telephone and talk to them, and I'll have their voice. A friend for me is not someone that just texts back and forth with me. Now, perhaps younger generations would consider that a friend. I don't know. If you go to my Facebook, it will tell you that I have 681 friends. I don't. That's kind of insane. No one keeps up with really good friends at the number of 681. Go check and see what your number is. I bet you'll be astonished. I never looked before today, before this morning, because I wanted to put a number in there. 681. I didn't know I knew 681 people. Now, no one really keeps up with 681 people in the sense that you are close friends with them. Now, of course, some of those people on that list, I would say, are close friends. If you dive into that friend group, you notice some things, though. You notice there's really some other categories. But because Facebook only lets you connect with each other and call each other a friend, that's what you have to call one another. If you had a choice, you'd maybe call them other things rather than a friend. I didn't mean that to sound that way. You know, there are people in there from all these other things that I've talked to you about. There are people from my childhood, that old neighborhood. I haven't seen them in 40 years, or maybe more in some cases. There are people that I went to high school with, some I was close with, and you know, some I don't remember ever speaking to in high school. Do you ever get those people? They find you on Facebook and they're from your high school and they friend you and they go, oh my God, you picked on me all the time. Why would I want to be your friend? They forgot. The head cheerleader homecoming queen from my high school is my friend on Facebook. Now, we were marginally friends in high school because we were in student government together. It's not like we ever did anything beyond that. The last time I was home, I was at my brother's house, and the mail truck pulled up, and this mail person screamed out my name. Now, when you're home, it doesn't matter if you recognize anybody or not. If you're from a small town, you must wave, and you must smile, and you must say hello. Because if you do not, it will go get all over town. The Scottsdale came to town and was rude and didn't speak to anybody. And your mother will hear about it within 2 or 3 hours and you'll be in trouble. It was that head cheerleader, homecoming queen. And she jumped out of the truck and ran across the lawn and hugged me. But she's not really my friend. Now, there's a lot of people from my college undergraduate days there, some very close, some that are maybe more acquaintances. It's really interesting what the alumni at my college undergrad are doing these days. They've decided they all want to be friends from this period of about 25 to 30 years that they've cordoned off. And they're doing all of these really interesting sort of things to connect with each other. So when I was in college, they used to have this party in the fall, and it was called Pigger. Doesn't that sound like fun? And they roasted a pig. And they had, kegs of beer and all sorts of stuff at the local lake nearby. And this went on for many, many, many years until the city shut them down. And I guess it was like the whatever anniversary of that this last year. And they started up this Facebook page about it. They were going to have this anniversary pig party. And everybody was supposed to come back if you were in graduate from these years. And they did. Hundreds of them came. I didn't go, but hundreds of them went. And they loved it. And now, this summer, they're all bowling all the time. They're having all these bowling events, and all these pictures are up, and all these people are having this great time, and they're reconnecting, and they're making even new friends, which is great, because what? It's difficult to continue to make friends the older you get, right? And so they are finding people in the same areas, and they're bringing them together for an event. And that connects them back together, if they knew each other before, and connects them to people that perhaps they hadn't known all those years ago. Now, also on that Facebook list, there's lots of professional contacts. It's really one of the reasons I got on Facebook, is because everyone was using it for professional reasons, right? And I needed to be there to see things and to be included. So there's a lot of them. So a lot of my own peers in my profession are on there. Some of whom are my friends, and others are just colleagues that I know from the work that I do. The ones I like the most are, I'll get friend requests and I don't recognize the name. And so if you do like I do, what I do is I click on their profile and see if we have friends in common. And for me, a lot of the times, they're graduate students at different programs that specialize in the same area of communication that I specialize in. And see, they want to be friends with people who are known quantities in the field, right? Because it helps them get their name out there. And perhaps you will help mentor them. And I'm always willing to do that. So I always click yes. And then they come and meet me at a conference. And then I quickly assess the situation and usually have to say, I'm sorry, I don't have a job for you at my school. That's really what they're after. They want the job, right? But there's nothing wrong with that networking, is there? No. And some of them I've become good friends with as a result. Now, here's a quote by Zayed Abdelnar, and he says, "We have three types of friends in life. Friends for a reason, friends for a season, and friends for a lifetime. And all of those are fine to have. I would say that those friends for a lifetime as we age are the ones we look to most. But time and distance may have us looking toward the friends for a reason or for a season, and that's fine. In any case, there's proof that friends give us many benefits. And these are real sort of scientifically proven benefits. And some of this stuff I got from the Mayo Clinic, so we can trust that, right? That's not fake news, is it? I think that's real. Okay? If we have friends, it increases our sense of belonging and purpose. That just makes sense, doesn't it? It boosts happiness and reduces stress. It helps us cope with trauma, such as divorce, serious illness, job loss, or death of a loved one. And it encourages you to avoid an unhealthy lifestyle habits. I had to question that one a little bit, because I thought, what if all your friends are all big drinkers too, right? Maybe it wouldn't. But it could. And it also promotes your overall health. People with a good friendship network have reduced depression, less high blood pressure, less unhealthy body mass index, and older adults with rich social lives are likely to simply live longer. So I think we should reach out to one another and offer friendship. You don't have to be looking for friends, but walking through the world with an attitude of friendship might allow you to draw more people in, to help them out, to connect ourselves more fully with one another's lives. Here's another poem by Jock Ritty. If the heart is true, a friendship will last. If it's built on mistrust, it'll become a thing of the past. If the heart is honest, a friendship will thrive. The bond will be solid and never implied. If the heart is open and truly willing to love, a friendship will flourish and should be worn like a glove. And two more other little quotes on friendship to close. One by Joseph Addison. The greatest sweetener of human life is friendship. And by William Barclay. I thank you for my friends, for those who understand me better than I understand myself, for those who know me at my worst and still like me, for those who have forgiven me when I had no right to expect to be forgiven. Help me be as true to my friends as I would wish them to be to me. And so may it be.